Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Welcome back to the Us Podcast, a podcast about us.
It's all of us, bro.
Whoa, we got Mickey Mouse.
Hi, how's it going?
A very special episode. We got Mickey Mouse.
That's right.
In the building.
That's Mr. Mouse to you.
So, Mickey, tell me about the slave wages that you pay the people that work for you in Disneyland.
You think we pay these neighbors? I don't think so.
Wow, Mickey, you're horrible. Get out of my house.
All right, we're out of here. Get out, Mickey. Get out. You're not the rat we want. Bring us the rat who can cook.
I own that motherfucker, too.
Whoa. Okay, Chris, can you please kick out Mickey Mouse, please?
All right, he's gone. Bye, Mickey. That was Elmo.
Anyway, what a great fucking intro.
How's it going, everybody?
We are back for another week of Us Podcast Shenanigans.
That's right.
And this week, it's a guest episode, as you saw from the description of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have just one guest.
Oh, no.
We don't have just two guests.
Oh, no?
We got three separate guests.
That's right.
And we will, well, I mean.
For a grand total.
For a grand total of three.
Six.
Oh. Two episodes, three each. A total of six guests that you'll see.
This is like this is our Infinity War.
Exactly. Dude, this is
literally. We split it up into two parts.
This is the fucking Infinity War of the Us Podcast.
That's right.
And I cannot wait for y'all to listen to these cool ass folks. And me and Chris had a fucking blast. Good old time. Tinkle doodle.
Whoa. I was like, huh? Where's he going with this? No, it was fucking awesome, and this was the episode, if for anybody that's been following these last episodes, when we mentioned at the end of our last friendship one that we had a special thing coming up in San Francisco, you're fucking listening to it.
This is it, boys and girls, and non-binaries.
Non-binary daddies.
So,
well, I want to stress also one thing, too. Before we did the, because I hate when like a guest episode's intros run too long, but I did want to point out, when we brought it up that we were going to do this, we had no idea how we were going to interview these people. Like, we emailed all of them individually, but one of them got back to us.
One boyo replied.
Exactly. Everybody else straight ignored us.
No shade, but a little shade.
But this is a testament to the fact that, like, if you fucking want to do something, just fucking do it. Like, no worries or fears. We got all the people we wanted. Of course, there would have been others that we would have liked to have spoken to, but we got the main heavy hitters. Yeah,
it was amazing. We literally went in there with fucking mics tucked into a backpack so the venue wouldn't say shit.
Yep.
And we just took over Katsu Oso's green room.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Shout out to Katsu, by the way.
Shout out to all the Katsu clan. And we did this shit. So, without further ado, we are going to introduce you guys. Oops, I fucking...
Freaky Friday-er over here.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris Cooper. You guys.
I'm trying to get him to be more politically correct, but he just won't listen.
You shut up!
On and on and on. Oh, don't want to grow up. I want to shout out.
What are you doing?
It's Freaky Friday.
Oh. Well.
Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to introduce to you a person, a musician who became a very good friend.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Fuck yeah.
He goes by the name of Boyo.
That's right.
And without further ado, me and Chris are going to jump back in time to that Friday in San Francisco. Whoa! Exactly.
Woo-hoo!
We're live. We're fucking live.
Here we are.
Right. We're jumping right into it.
Let's do it.
Let's. We're coming to you all as always. Well, not as always. Today's a special episode, huh, Chris?
Hell yeah.
Today, we're in San Francisco, California at the Young Love concert.
Young Love.
And we are talking with our boy, Boyo. So
what's good?
I'm going to ask you the origins of that name, but first off,
okay,
we're going to intro every guest we have with the same question, which is,
please,
what does young love mean to you?
What does young love mean to me? Well, actually, I had an old band called Bobby T and the Slackers, and we had a song called Young Love, and so young love, I guess it means like, you know, like going to like, you know, a DIY venue with a significant other, seeing a set,
right,
having some fun, seeing, you know, I don't know, dude, like having
what's a band that you've intimate seen in your youth that you hold fond.
We were just talking about Surf Curse.
Yeah, fuck yes.
And probably,
and y'all know how big a fan. Yes,
we've mentioned them on the show before.
Yes. So Surf Curse, probably Pangea.
Dude, yes.
Remember them? Probably.
Known as Together Pangea.
Together Pangea.
Yeah. Probably going back in time.
Yeah, going back in time, and probably. I don't know. If I were probably 17, 18, and I was going like a showgoer, I'd probably see Michael Sayre. I'd probably see Bane's World. Probably see these bands.
Yeah, probably see all the lineup on this Young Love show.
On this Young Love.
It's a really great lineup.
Dude, this is an insane lineup.
I know. I was like, when they asked us to play, it was like a no-brainer. I was like, oh, like literally all the bands I like. Yeah.
Oh, all my friends? Yeah, please.
Yeah, it was like, for sure.
Set me up.
Is this your biggest show that you've done so far?
It might be. I don't know. Like, I mean, as Boyo, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Like, we played, I mean, I don't know, like, in terms of capacities and stuff, probably is.
Got
I can't
yeah,
imagine
yeah.
we played a bigger, like, a ballroom. Okay. We played theaters, but I feel like a ballroom. Uh-huh. Like, I'm bad with math, so I don't really know. But I imagine it must be. It has to be the biggest.
Does the size of the audience ever, like, the bigger the audience, the more nervous you are before a show?
The opposite. So smaller, yeah. So if it's smaller and it's like, and you can look at the people in the eyes, and there's less people, and you're like,
see, like,
yeah, and you can see people like looking at you like this fucking asshole, like is like trying to be a badass or whatever, then you feel like a dick. But if it's a bunch of people and you don't, and you can, and the general consensus is like, this is cool, then like, hell yeah.
It's
you
just
know
like
what
a
mean?
C. You don't
it's
even
a
see
yeah,
a person.
Exactly. It's a energy more than like, you know, cross arm hipster
yeah,
folk.
Yeah.
You
That's
know.
Awesome. I want to ask. You mentioned Bobby T and the Slackers.
Yes.
That was the band you had before.
Yes.
Boyo.
Yes.
Did anything for you as a songwriter or musician change going from a band to performing as Boyo?
Well, I mean, that was kind of still like a solo like thing. Like I was, you know, I recorded alone and then played with a band. But I guess it changed like just genre. Like I was just kind of like listening to way more like funky soul music, like kind of more like the stuff my mom raised me on, like Al Green and like Lionel Richie, you know what I'm saying? And then going back to like Is This It by the Strokes and
the best album.
Arguably the best album of all time. And like, well, like Show Me a Better Album. And like, and so like,
fire.
Yeah, there you go. That's what made, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, I have that argument with a lot of people where I'm like, maybe it's better, I don't know.
I always say, Is This It is the better album, but Room on Fire is my favorite album.
Yeah, like, same with me. That. Like, Is This It's the one where it's more perfect, but Room on Fire is the one where I go back to it more because I didn't burn it out as much. You know
That's
what I'm
cool.
saying?
Halloween, man.
Yes. Halloween 2018. Do you guys see it yet?
No.
Yes. So did I.
High five, bro. Fucking Halloween.
So did I. Laurie Strode, man.
Great movie going experience. Great movie going experience.
Fuck
right?
this conversation.
I freaked out. Dude, I saw it alone, dude.
Oh,
well, because my girlfriend was out of town, and I like, my friends don't like horror movies, you know what I mean? Like most of my friends that like do like horror movies were like working all this stuff, and I was like, I need to see it now before spoilers, before any of the shit.
Michael Myers
head.
Fucking
no,
yeah.
I'm a Halloween head. Like,
Jamie Lee Curtis is Michael Myers this time.
yeah, exactly. They're like, oh shit. And so like, I'm a Halloween head, and I like even liked the Rob Zombie ones or whatever.
Yes!
Like, I don't like they're fun. They're whatever. They're cool.
Thank you.
And like, they're entertaining.
Yeah.
And
Thank
like,
you.
So and I went and I was like, yeah. Anyway, I freaked the fuck out. But yeah. So anyway, so yes, it's similar as the Strokes. Halloween, John Carpenter, and Julian Casablancas.
The reason we bring it up, me and Chris and Justin, who's sitting next to me, the audience knows who Justin is. We all saw Halloween together, and I left fucking screaming in the parking lot. Like, this is the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen.
Really?
I hate this movie.
Really?
These movies are like, that was fucking amazing.
Okay, see, I was walking in, though, because I wanted to see it, like, because, okay, I followed the press campaign around it where all the interviews she was doing, and I was like, what's interesting is like, you never see like what happens to the final girl after she gets messed up, you know what I'm saying? Like, you never see like the trauma and all that shit, so I just wanted to see like how they handle it, like not making her the sister, not making her any bullshit. I just want to see like how it fucks your head up. You know what I mean? Because it's like,
does some trauma. It's anyway, a character study.
Eye roll. Anyway. But as a horror movie, the Rob Zombie ones are more like visceral.
Yes.
But like more this stylish. One,
yeah,
I think
they're
is
trashy. They're gross.
I mean, yeah, they're gross. Yeah. It's more body
it's
horror.
It's a Rob Zombie movie.
It's body
right.
horror. It's body horror. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they had a little bit of that with the teeth and all that shit. But like, I enjoyed it. I definitely fucked with it.
Well, whatever.
But sorry to disappoint.
Over. Yeah, because we were scrolling through your Twitter.
Yeah, and then I was
your
like,
opinions on
yeah,
it.
I
was like,
no,
hold the fucking phone.
She's my spirit animal, dude. Well, because she's also like, she's a hard motherfucker in the movie, dude. She's
but,
like,
no, you know what? I'm gonna counter that argument. It's like, yes, they build her up to be this fucking dope ass, like badass leading lady.
Right.
Then she puts her fucking head next to the door.
I agree with you. That one scene, I was like, where's your you're all about strategy. and then you're like, you're getting strangled into your own door. I was like, where's strategy? I was like, who are you
where
now?
Was I, gonna go?
I was like, yeah, I was like,
Michael, is that you?
Yeah, she's like, Michael. I was like, Laurie Strode. Come on.
You opened up a cabinet with like 10 guns.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you have like a gun for every single like attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden you're getting strangled. But anyway, I have so many opinions on that.
We could really be here all night with his complaints about that movie.
Yeah, wanted to bring that.
We can go. Yeah. Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes, people are digging it. So you guys are not in the minority of people that love it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. True.
Okay. So on our 5-hour drive over here, we had to listen to some of your stuff. I had listened to your album previously. And I got the sense, like, when I first listened to it, I was like, oh, this is very shoegazy.
Word.
So I don't know if, like, that was some of your influences, but I wanted to hear, what you talked a little about your influences, but what, like, went into specifically your album, Me Again? Like,
because I have a record actually coming out in November.
I heard that single, boy.
Plug. So... So I have a record coming out. We're gonna play a bunch of songs tonight from it. I have a record coming out in November called Dance Alone, and it's way more like funky. Has a lot more
sick.
Like
it's more like that single.
It's more like hit or miss. So it's like it has a lot more like sleek sexiness to it. Because I just was listening to a lot more. Like I was listening to like did you guys follow? I know Kanye is like messed up right now. Like nobody.
I follow Kanye.
No, I know. But I know he's like not in people's good graces. And like every time I say like I'm a fan of him, then you have to like answer to like your family at like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, look,
but like they're like
808s and Heartbreaks. I just can't.
It's so good. It's a good record, and people say it's not. It's a good record. But I thought like you like the good music stuff that was coming out, like Teyana Taylor, all that stuff. So I was just like. I just love R&B, and I would and anyway, this new record's very R&B based, but Me Again, you're right, very astute.
Yeah.
I was listening to a lot of My Bloody Valentine.
I do my research.
Oh, you know your shit, man. So yeah, I was listening to a lot of like Deer Hunter, My Bloody Valentine, Elliot Smith's band, like Heat Miser, like that, like it's kind of like the heavier.
Just some very like put that shit on and just cry yourself.
Yeah, just cry and just like call your exes and go like, please, like you know, like I miss you. I'm so sorry. Yeah, there's my bandmate who was straggling behind. Who was
just like, I'm here.
Yeah, he was working for you.
He was stuck because our van broke down. Anyway, crazy. Our van broke down and he was stuck with it earlier today. Anyway.
That is
stressful.
That's like the worst case scenario for any band on tour.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, it was the worst case scenario. But
and where were y'all made? Y'all drove over here to San Fran?
Yeah, we drove over here.
From where?
Yeah, we drove from LA.
You had the same drive we did.
We did. We were probably like crossing paths.
Dude, we were probably driving
just
next
fucking
to each
parallel.
Other.
Yeah,
I was just like, that guy's got a cool hat on.
Yeah. I was like, what's up, man?
Your hat. Did you? Because I've seen Josh Safdie wearing that hat. Is that where you got that from?
Oh damn! I didn't know Josh Safdie was a sci-fi fan because I love the Safdie brothers. Got it. Oh damn! Oh, see, look at you.
Well, because I've seen him wearing this hat before. What is that? What's sci-fi fantasy?
That's really cool. Sci-fi fantasy. So the guy who runs my label, Danger, or not my the label I'm on, Reed, is a skater, and like I can't skate for like shit, but like he is like every time they do a drop for one of these, like Jerry Sue, the guy who like does the company, Reed's like on it and like will buy it, and so like. I'll like give him money now and just be like, yo, like please, like, cause it's expensive to buy it after. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll just be like, please just buy my shit when they do. Cause
I know you're on this.
Cause I know, you're like reloading the site like 25 times. So like, he just like was like, I don't even want this shirt. So he gave me this shirt, and then I like bought. So I, cause I'm, cause I just like everybody was wearing Supreme and stuff, and I also thought I was gonna look like a dick, and I was like, well, what's Sci-Fi Fantasy? And so I was like, so I just started wearing that, and then all of a sudden I like, but and I thought it was all unique, and then I was watching. Like some home shake video, and I was like, "Oh motherfucker!"
You're like, "Damn
and
it!"
I was like, "That
now,
guy
like,
wears
now
it too."
Now everyone's gonna think I copied.
Yeah,
him.
Now I'm like, I'm copying the guy, whatever. Like, oh, but, if Benny Safdie or Josh Safdie? Yeah, so if one of the Safdie brothers are wearing it, that means that.
You're like, that's where I got my style.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think of Good Time?
Loved it. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that shit is
my favorite movie of last year.
Chris's favorite movie.
I saw it 8 times.
Me too. I saw it. Twice or three times, and then I saw it, and then I like showed everybody that movie. You know, Heaven Knows What too.
Yeah.
So that shit's like, yeah.
Dude,
like,
they're fucking huge. They're gonna be huge. Man.
Well, they're gonna be like the biggest. Like they'll probably pull like a Christopher Nolan, and they'll probably make like a like an amazing, you know, like they'll
that mainstream one.
They'll make a mainstream movie, but they'll like reinvent a genre.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, Avengers 5.
Hell no. I hope they don't fucking do a Marvel,
it's
man.
All close-ups.
Yeah, it's all, like, really sad. Yeah, it has, like, really weird, like, old, like, synth score. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Well, it's good to see that you have, like, some good taste in movies.
Dude,
you as well, man.
That's what we saw. I was like, oh, shit, this guy likes movies. All right,
oh, I love movies, man.
We know what we're going to talk about.
I wanted to be a smoothie maker. I just, like...
A smoothie maker?
A smoothie maker. A smoothie maker.
Yeah.
I wanted to work at Jamba Juice.
Yeah, you know, I worked at Jamba Juice for a little bit. And I was like, dude,
get the recipe just right. I wrote scripts when I was a kid and shit. I was like, fuck, to make movies, you have to have like a budget and like a camera and like people and patience, and then they mess with your vision or whatever. Yeah. I was like, with music, you can record alone. You can like fake it.
Literally.
And like, yeah.
The fucking, like the thing I always come back to, it's like, making a movie takes so long. Like, you have that fucking initial idea, and then maybe 2 years later you make it.
Yeah, and then it's also not what you wanted.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, some guy's like, but what if he doesn't want to be a doctor? What if he wants to be an astronaut?
What if that ending's a little too sad?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, what if it's a romantic comedy? You're like,
no, what? This isn't even my movie anymore.
You're like, this is like a space opera.
And then you get First Man.
Yeah. I didn't see First Man.
I haven't seen it either.
That's literally Ryan Gosling staring into space.
Yeah.
Is it? They were like, that's how they pitched. That was their elevator pitch. They're like, Ryan Gosling staring into space, but like, this time it's space.
It's like, I'm listening.
Jeez. And they're like, tell me more. And they're like, so he's not a driver now. It's actually space. They're like,
he's not a driver. He doesn't like jazz. He's in space.
Does he talk? They're like, barely. I love it.
And he plays a little man called Neil Armstrong.
They're like, oh shit. They're like, I know who that is. Easy sell. It's like, damn, dude.
How much do you want?
Is this leaked audio of their pitch meeting?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you there?
This is actually leaked from Miramax pitch meeting.
Like, I was in the elevator with the elevator
Warner Brothers pitch. Yeah.
I would not be fucking surprised.
So while we're on the topic of movies, what did Edward Norton ever do to you?
Oh. You know what? Okay, so I watched this. I was watching the roast of Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And I was just watching it, and I was like, he's a great actor, but as a human being, there's all these stories about him being the worst person to work with. Yeah, and also the Hulk.
That sounded like you being like, yeah, there's all these stories of him being the Hulk.
There's all these stories of him just like turning green
and
blowing up at directors. No, but
just so those contexts, we're referring to a tweet that Boyo made.
Edward
Norton sucks.
Edward Norton sucks.
Yeah, I also didn't want to give context because I was like, he doesn't deserve it. But I was like, he's a great actor, like whatever, but like he, historically, every movie he's on, he'll be like, I want to make changes, blah, blah. And people are like, screw this guy or whatever. And then I liked how on the roast, everybody just laid into Edward Norton.
Damn.
But you could tell it bugged him. So I just kind of was like, Edward Norton sucks.
Like, you jumped on that.
And I was also just high as fuck. And I was like, sitting on my couch, and I was like, yeah. And I was also like happy that like actresses that had worked with him were like, you suck, dude. And I was like, you do suck. Wow. So anyway, I just hopped on a hate bandwagon, which is probably not positive.
No, that's fine.
If I was at the roast, man, I would have
said some shit. Yeah, I would have been like, all right, dude, go method.
Yeah, like, he'll be like, crying into his $100 bill.
Yeah, he'll like, he's literally like crying.
He's dabbing his tears.
In his check from Martin
Scorsese.
I'd
be like, look, Fight Club, cool. Hulk, not so cool.
Yeah, I was like, dude, like, Ruffalo replaced you. Like,
boom.
Like, let that sink in.
How does that feel?
Yeah, how does that feel, dude? Damn.
I want someone to ask him, like, so how does it feel not to be the Hulk anymore? And he's just like, you know,
oh, they
like,
said worse shit than that at the roast. You should watch that roast.
Oh, definitely.
It's rough.
Link in the description. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, link in my bio.
Yeah, link in the bio.
To the roast.
Like, forever, you just have the link to Ed Norton's roast.
Link to Ed Rosen just getting roast. Oh. Yeah, Ed Norton getting roast.
I'd be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, when do you go on?
Oh, damn, that's a good question. 8 o'clock.
Yeah. How are you feeling, man? Like, what are you
What time is it currently?
About?
It's 5:51.
Six. Oh, so no, I feel good. I feel pretty.
No pre-show jitters.
No, cause also. Oh, well, that's another thing. So now that we're like five piece, I don't have to play any instruments. I just sing.
Okay. Oh, shit.
So I just go up there, plug my shit in, and I sing. So I can also get a little tipsy. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
Like I can.
Do you have like any rituals pre-show rituals that you do? Nothing.
No. I usually like
chug five beers.
Yeah, I chug.
You don't have a picture of Edward Norton a dartboard and just fucking
throw darts at him right in the nose.
Depending on where it lands.
There we go.
That's how you know if the show's gonna be good.
Yeah, I go. All right, we're gonna kill it tonight, bullseye. And then I have a whiskey sour and I jump on the stage. Yeah. Oh, I got. All right, I'll finish mine first. Thank you. You're trying to get me messed up right now. I like it. I like where you're going. Hey, no, God bless. Thank you, man.
Once again, we are here.
Cheers.
At the Regency Ballroom,
bless. Thank
in San Francisco,
you, sir.
California, interviewing.
Once again. Yo.
Once you drink that beer, bro. How'd you come up with the name Boyo?
How'd it come,
where'd it come from?
Well, it all. I mean, I have a bunch of like Irish like family. And like they're not from Ireland, but they're like, you know, they all like, hey boyo, you know what I mean, like just what they call you. And also I was like on my first album Control, like there's a lot of songs where like I pitch my voice up, sound like a little kid or like androgynous, you know what
yeah
I mean?
and so
I kind of was like I didn't want to make it like super gendered or anything, but I thought it would be interesting. Like I was like, oh, like a lot of these songs are kind of just like simple. Like I was like trying to go back to basics. I was at music school and everybody's like writing crazy, like classical shit. And I was so bad at theory and I was failing and shit. So I was like, I want to go back to my basics. And I was like I want to be like a little like reconnected with like the little boy inside of me.
A little boy.
The little boy. So that's like that was kind of the idea. You know, it's like right, super super simple, super kind of yeah.
Did your experience at like you say you went to like music school?
Briefly. That's where I met the bassist and drummer who play live with me. Yeah.
And did your experience there, like, because you said you kind of had a negative experience because you weren't doing good.
Yeah.
Did that ever affect, like, you're like, fuck, maybe I can't do this music thing?
Sure. Yeah. For a second, I was like, damn. I was lucky to go and, like, I'm lucky to be able to have gone, but I was just like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. I don't know.
That sucks, man.
Yeah.
Academia, man.
Yeah, and academia is a double-edged sword.
Fucking killer.
Yeah, no, it's a killer, but then I dropped out and I had...
Fuck yeah. Well, Chris would agree on that. Yeah, I would be like,
oh, yeah, I didn't go to begin with.
I had two really good friends, my friends Cleo and Harmony from this band Girlpool, and they...
Oh, shit.
Shout out.
So they gave me a shout out to Girlpool, incredible, and they gave me an opportunity to open for them solo, and also gave us an opportunity to open for them full band, and so they kind of lit a fire under my butt to, like, do
get
this stuff again.
Fuck yeah.
And they were like, make a good record and get your shit together, and I was like, okay. And so honestly, shouts out to
And
them.
Now you're fucking here.
I'm true, yeah.
San Francisco.
Yeah, God bless you.
Playing
blessing.
With
yeah.
the fucking future of the
trying,
music industry.
Talking to
trying.
Angel and Chris.
Talking to
podcast.
Angel and Chris.
And it all comes back to all of us. And
all of us.
This has been super fucking awesome. Thank you.
Yeah,
before
dude.
We let you go, I think this is really interesting because for some people that are listening, they might be new to your stuff, and if they like the conversation so far, what would you say to them? How would you sell them to check out your stuff?
I would just say, like, if you want to like have a spectrum of emotions, like if you want to find an artist that can make you a little sad, can make you a little happy, can make you a little dance a little bit, can make you relax a little bit depending on the record or the song, then I think it's a dope project, or not, or you could hate it and you could be like, this guy's voice sucks and is annoying, and why is the guitar out of tune? You know what I mean? So there's that.
If it asked me, I would be like, if you want to cry while headbanging, listen to
that. I would. I love that. There you go.
He said it better than me.
Can I get a pull quote?
Forget what I said. If you want to, if you want to cry while headbanging, that's my final.
It was a fucking pleasure to have you.
You guys are fucking
incredible, dude. Great taste of
you guys. You guys are fucking badass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Fucking much love, man.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Hey,
you guys
this
rock.
Is, this is so fucking cool.
Wow.
Wow.
What a story, Mark.
That was fun. Thanks for the conversation, boyo.
Yeah, that was amazing. We laughed about music and movies, and Halloween is still a piece of shit. Oh, weeks after that interview, Halloween sucks dicks. But Edward Norton's a pretty cool guy, I think, still. Regardless of everything that was said.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So that was Boyo. Multi-talented? Does that make any sense?
He is talented in multiple things.
Okay, yeah. So we had a chat with him. I think it was a nice little start to our day. He was the first interview.
Yeah, he was the first. And literally afterwards, we had this moment of like, did we just become friends?
Yeah.
Like all of us, did we just become friends? And don't be surprised if you see Boyo on the Us Podcast sometime in the future.
And Boyo, if you're listening, because we know you are, thank you so much for being so fucking kind. Thank you for even like when we met up with him, he's like, oh yeah, I listened to a little bit of your guys' stuff.
He's like, you guys are funny. And I was like, yes.
So please check out his music.
Validation.
He just released an album.
Dude, he did.
Please check it out. It's called Dance Alone.
Yep, Dance Alone. And his fucking music video for Addicts has Jason Alexander.
George fucking Costanza, bro.
What are the fucking chances? This all, as you can see, everything comes around. Comes back to Seinfeld. To the Us podcast.
It really does. It's insane. I remember when I saw that, I was waiting to see like your comment. I'm like, I'm waiting for Angel's comment. And then I see like, what the hell?
I was like, what the fuck? Oh my God.
So that was Boyo. Please go check out his stuff, Boyo.
And me and Chris's favorite song is the same one.
Programming.
Shout awesome. Out to that song. Shout out to that album. Thank you so much. And let's jump into the next guest, which is...
Ayo, honey.
Yeah, we're saying that very sensually.
Because it was a very intimate,
we have a
conversation. I don't want to say that. That
we
sounds
have a very
creepy.
Intimate conversation with Aolani about the inspirations of her album, and it's fucking awesome. So we're gonna leave you with this ASMR before we jump into this interview. We're gonna jump back in time, ASMR style.
Ooh, please enjoy.
It's a lot of fun when I'm up there, but I'm on like an adrenaline high.
That's cool.
So it's like the most fun part, I think.
It's right like when the you afterwards, get and you're just like, I can fucking do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Do you get any pre-show jitters?
I definitely do. I get very, very nervous. Like sometimes I feel like vomiting, but.
Vomiting?
Yeah. Oh, I never do though.
Okay.
It goes away.
The one day you do, you'll be like, it was years in the making.
It
was in the works.
Hopefully one day I'll get that satisfaction.
Oh, so shit. Special guest appearance by Katsu Oso.
Oh,
is that Katsu Oso?
Oh,
say something into the mic, Katsu.
Sorry, guys.
He's not allowed in his own
home. Oh, my God. So we are here with another guest interview with Aolani.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Woo!
Hi, everyone. I'm Aolani.
Wow.
That's it.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Clap, clap, clap. So we're going to start off by asking you a question we've been asking everyone so far.
Yeah.
Since the show is called Young Love, what does young love mean to you?
Young love to me means like toxic but innocent at the same time.
Ooh.
I think people are the most like manipulative unconsciously when they're young.
Yeah, of course. Wow, that's a great answer.
Yeah, I've had young love to me is long distance MySpace relationship.
I never had a MySpace.
Oh
my mom
goodness.
Wouldn't let me.
How old are you?
I'm 20.
What?
You're
in that pocket of you're supposed to have a MySpace.
You were there as it was on its way out.
Yeah, no. My parents like would put Dateline NBC on and they'd be like, don't get a MySpace. You know?
Same.
You're going to get kidnapped and murdered on
exactly.
MySpace.
I was afraid.
I remember I had a friend whose mom
convinced her that the guy who sells corn, the elotero man, was gonna kidnap her.
What?
Like, put you in, like, it's like, don't go out when he's passing by with his horn. He's gonna throw you in his cart and kidnap you.
She's afraid of buying that corn now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh
my God. So she grew up never eating corn or elotes.
That's
at least.
That's so wow. sad. I love
elotes. Our logo would mean nothing
yeah,
to her.
Our logo's an elote.
So good.
All right. So we. Just like you, we drove from LA up here, so it was like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And we got to listen to some of your music.
Yep. We bumped that shit all the way.
So good.
Thank
I've listened.
You.
I've listened to it already. So me personally, and since Chris was driving, I was the one writing down the questions.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we were just spitballing.
Yeah.
In
I
car.
Said like when I listen to your music, it sounds like there's a lot of like hurt behind it. And a lot of experiences of, like, unrequited love. Like, love
yeah.
that's not returned.
Yeah. For sure.
And so I wanted to ask, like, is it, like...
Does that make you sad?
No.
Like, I mean...
Does doing that come naturally? Or do you like, pick, like, okay, I want to talk about this experience?
I mean, I guess I've always been, like, the type of person that... I get really invested in people. Like...
Yeah.
Well, specific people, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I've, like, had my time, like, fucking around. But then there's always, like... particular people that I'm really into.
Yeah.
And I don't know, everyone has that like friends with benefits type of relationship.
Yep.
I would say my whole EP is like based around like a friends with benefit type of relationship.
So,
yeah.
So it's just like, so the majority of it is like one person? You're speaking like to one person?
For the most part, some of them are like not about one person. Some of them are just like kind of like, I don't know. I wanted to write like an R&B song that was just really about like wanting someone,
yeah.
you
okay.
know? And then those were just about people who I wanted to, like, hook up with. But a few Ooh. Of them are, like, very, like, emotionally invested, like, friends with benefits relationships.
Yeah.
We weren't together. Yeah.
See, that's interesting. I've never, or at least I haven't been exposed to too much music that's about, you know, women, like, pursuing somebody in that kind of way. Because you usually hear about, like, you know, scandalous guys, but never, I mean, not that it's scandalous, but girls, like, going after, like, just like
I
a...
Know. I remember,
yeah.
I
have a habit of doing that.
Interesting.
Like,
I think that's dope, like, being completely...
I'm not single now, but... When I was single, I would, I don't know. I usually pursue people.
That's
yeah.
dope.
That's cool.
I like that it's easy for you to, like, to speak about that. Like, I always point to, like, someone like Nicki Minaj who, like, openly talks about her pussy and shit. And then a friend's like, oh, I fucking hate Nicki Minaj. She's always talking about her pussy. And I'm like, who cares? Like, guys are always talking about, like, people sucking their dicks
yeah.
and shit.
That's very true. I just think I do it. I feel like I do it in a way, like, I try to be as subtle as possible with...
Uh-huh.
While still relaying the message, and I think, like, everyone can relate to, like, wanting someone, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, would you say that's your way of, like, differentiating the type of music? Because you're part of, like, you know, like, that bedroom pop scene. Like, are you conscious about thinking of, like, how do I make me different, A-line different, whether it be through the music you make or the aesthetics of, like, the synths or the lyrics or stuff like that?
I would say, like, I'm concerned about it, but I don't consciously try to, like, make myself different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I kind of just work with what I have, and I'm like, you know, people will
like
it,
I'm
they won't
mean.
Like it. Yeah.
That's
I feel like I, all of us are artists. Like, I think the hardest thing to do is, like, how do I put myself, like, unfiltered, like, into whatever I'm trying to do without, like, compromising or like seeming fake
yeah.
and shit.
It's hard to do that. Like,
yeah.
That's why I feel like I think I have an issue with writing about anything besides, I guess, with boys.
Yeah.
Like, that's all, like, my whole EP is about boys. Every song I've ever written, I think, is about boys for the most part.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's just what comes naturally, because if anything causes me stress, it's generally, like, relationships. I find a lot of stress in that,
yeah.
and I worry
boy
a lot
problems.
About that.
Who's gonna... I like that song. Shout out Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, I thought you made that up on the spot. That sounds like something you would have made up on the spot.
That's an Angel original right there. Oh, my God. No, it's same for me. And I don't know about you, Chris. I'm speaking, like, about
no,
me.
No, go
like,
for it, bro.
Everything I write is just, like, someone who broke my heart or someone who, like, left a big imprint in my life. And I'm just like, I need to get these feelings out of here.
That's, like, the easiest thing to write about. So I just kind of go with that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I'm the best at. So, like, you know.
It feels very genuine.
Like, yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
And also, I was, but, like, I've described your music to someone, like sexy, but in a very low-key way. Like, like that's
great. I like
that's
that.
That's the best. Dude, I've been killing
you're
it.
You're getting the
I've
pull codes, dude.
It today.
That's a really good, yeah.
Yeah, you
like
can have
these
that.
Are the reviews you want.
Yeah, feel free. You can have that.
Is this your first show out of L.A.?
Well, I played in like Orange County, I guess, okay. or like Long Beach, but this is definitely the farthest I've traveled for a show. So. Wow.
So this is then your biggest, has this been your biggest one?
I would say, yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a little drunk right now, but I think so.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God. And so is it harder to play in front of bigger crowds, or are the smaller shows the ones that get you, or do you feel the same regardless?
Smaller shows are so much worse.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, because the less people there are, the more intimate it is with the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's always, like, really difficult. It's like if you were to sing it, like, to one person solely, like, that's just very nerve-wracking, you know?
Yeah, I'd be like, stop looking at me.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Like, the bigger the crowd, I think the better, the easier.
Wow. Definitely.
I'm actually, like, super interested. Can you recall how you felt, or, like, the experience of the first time performing one of your original songs?
Oh, shit. That's good. Yeah.
I think I was actually just really nervous. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, my own original song. I was just... It was actually... Because I went to, like, a school in Orange County. It was, like, an art school. So I was in classical voice, so I studied like opera, and
wow. Opera?
Yeah, and we had
sing an opera song right now.
Hell no. But yeah, we had one class. I forget what it was called, but we basically it was like a composition class. So we composed songs, then we had to do a show, and I remember I was so nervous for that. That's the most nervous I've ever been, I think, for a show ever.
That's why I don't perform live. I mean, I played. That's the only reason.
I think once you do it, it's like the most exhilarating thing.
And when did you get into making music? What age?
Probably like, I wrote songs since like I was a kid.
Right.
I mean, they weren't good, but I wrote them. And then I started playing instruments like guitar. And I did Hawaiian music, so I played ukulele for a while.
Oh, cool.
And then once I hit, like, 12th grade is when I started, like, producing, like, on, like, Logic.
Yeah.
And that's when I started, like, recording. Wow.
Making those trap beats, you know, trying to jump on that wave.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I can't wait for that that album that can you completely go trap.
Full trap album.
Yeah,
sure.
I hear it. I hear it trying to.
Amigos collab?
I'm a rapper, but no one fucking knows it.
Would you spit some bars right now?
No. I'm totally lying. That was like a huge lie.
I'm like, all right now.
What's been the response so far? Like, what have been like some of the common feed? Like, do you get? I don't know, because we're not too familiar with your fan base. What do the audience say? Yeah.
I don't know. I've gotten like DM requests. And they're all just like really sweet, like people just saying like they relate to my music like people saying they relate to my music is like so nice. Or even people will come forward and tell me like a situation and like how one of my songs like related to it. And
wow.
That's really cool to me because some of them like hit the nail on the head and I'm just like, I'm so glad you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a good feeling when people get what you're trying to go for.
When you hear a song and you're like, damn, did you write this for me, bro? Like, because this is me right now. And I think it's a great feeling to like express that to the artist that helps you out.
Yeah.
Just be like, just so you know, I had a friends with benefits situation. You helped me get through it. Like, thank you.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you worked for 2 years on this album, right?
Pretty much, like a year and a half, 2 years.
That's wild.
Yeah. So it's a long time.
I want to know if you can talk a little bit about like who you were when you started. And who you were when you ended.
I think I was a lot more immature when I started. I was, like, still living at home, like, with my mom. Mm. And, like, pretty much in a really toxic situation as far as my home life goes.
Yeah.
And, like, I just decided to, like, lock myself in my room and record for probably, like, a year and a half.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But since then, a lot has changed. I moved out. I'm living with my sister. We have our own place.
Wow.
I work.
Shout out to independence.
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
That's dope.
Yeah. But I think I've matured a lot over the past 2 years. I think a lot of that is due to just the people I've been around. I think a lot of the people I've been around are a lot older than me. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot. I think because of that I've matured more, and also just, you know, having to support myself, it makes a huge difference.
I gotta up this cool factor. Like, I gotta match their cool right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too shabby, like, now after all that years of work, like, actually being here with all these talented people.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a good feeling.
Where do you see it like taking you from here? Like, how, like, what's your next level? Where do you see yourself going from here now?
I want to take the next step to make this my career, because I've had two jobs for like years now.
Wow.
And it's exhausting.
Customer
and on top of that,
service, man.
I don't even, like, I have one job right now. I don't even think I could take on a second job with like the way like I have to practice with my band and we're like gonna start traveling. So it's just, it's a lot.
That's something I like to highlight. We talked to Katsuoso and he still works even though he's fucking playing shows like this, even though he's a Tropicalia just like you. But I think that's important to know that like it's important not to get discouraged even if you're making great shit and even if you're playing big shows. Like there's no shame in working, you know, like
the hustle is real.
It is. It really is. I think people probably from my Instagram even like you wouldn't know like I'm a waitress.
I wouldn't even have
guessed. No, I wouldn't have guessed.
I'm like cashier at like a let me see.
Like Hot Topic?
Dude, I've thought about Hot Topic in my whole life. I thought about it.
Hi, welcome to Hot Topic.
I think I would love working there.
Have you listened to my EP yet?
You just recommend, you write that on the back of the receipt.
I mean, like, write it on the back of every receipt.
That'd be great. Like, you just put your
just get a sticker, on. Slap it, like, give it to them with everything.
That's so
just
funny.
Drop it in their bag.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Hey,
somebody would get fired for that, but you'd get a lot of listens.
For sure. Hey, fuck it, that's what really matters.
Hell yeah.
But Chris just subtly dropped a big show you're playing next week, Tropicalia.
Yes.
What the heck?
I'm very excited.
How? Tell me about the day you... It was confirmed.
Well, I had been talking to like
let's pause.
Need to go out of this area. You can't have glass going all around. Nobody goes behind the bar. Nobody goes back up that way. Everybody gotta go through the kitchen.
Oh, somebody's in trouble.
What's happening?
Oh my god, guys, help me. I think Omar did something.
Good thing we're in here.
Like I'm so scared. Help. You're like peeking out like
that was terrifying.
Yeah, I was like It was like the teacher yelling at the class.
I'm like, are we in high school? I thought somebody was like, hey, you're dancing too close to each other.
Oh, that's so scary.
Oh my god.
All right, let's get back on track.
I hate being scolded.
Dude, I know.
Yeah, especially as an adult. That really took me back to school.
Like, yeah, man. I'm like, my mom. It sounded like my mom.
I'm like, that was looking for me. Chris! Chris, get over here.
And I'm like, what'd I do?
Did you steal $300 from me? You said that was my pay. I can't wait to personal. Back to you.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah. So we were talking about Tropicalia. Tell me about that. The moment you found out.
Oh yeah.
So I have like a friend who works for Golden Voice. His name is Dom, and like he's great.
Shouts
he always
out.
Books me for stuff. He's booked me for the observatory, and like
good
he's
on
super
you,
tight.
Man.
And I feel really great because I think he supports me. That makes me happy. But he just like reached out to me and emailed me and was like, hey, what are your plans? And then I told him my plans for the year. So that was like way before the EP release. I told him about the EP, videos, recording, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just said, like, me and my boss are a big fan of your music. We'd love to have you at Tropicalia. And I was like, so...
You just screamed.
I was like very shocked because like at the time I really didn't have a following, which makes sense because I'd never released like a solid body of work. Yeah, but...
And they're like... We haven't heard a single song. We want you on this huge-ass lineup.
That's how I thought it was. I was nervous. But yeah, like, I feel great that I finally released my EP.
Yeah,
so now
dude,
people have something to listen to.
Yeah.
I remember, it's so funny because, like, I felt, like, friends of mine are friends of yours. And I would see them repost, like, every time you drop a single. And I was like, this name keeps popping up. Maybe I should take a listen.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I did.
Thank you.
And look at this. Now we're here.
Comes full circle.
God, I'm excited.
Yeah, this is so cool. All right. I think there's one more thing. I love asking this to any performer. Like, is there something you think about while you're up on stage to like get into like the zone of performing?
I mean, besides alcohol, I don't know, it's a lot different now that I have a live band. Like, because I have a live band, it makes a world of difference.
Was this the first show with the live band?
No, this is my second show. I just had an EP release show last weekend, actually.
Wow.
So this is the second show, and, like, just being able to have, like, such amazing musicians, because they're exceptional. Like, I always tell them, I'm like, please never leave me.
You're like, I need you.
They're just, they're so good.
I can't go back to a MacBook Pro.
No, exactly, and that makes the world of difference, because when I'm on stage, like, I'm able to, like, look around me and like, people who are, like, just as into it as I am.
That's awesome.
And I love that a lot.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I'm so happy to have them with me up there.
Well, shouts out to the band.
Shout out to Aiolani and her band. You need to change. You need to have like a name for them, like Aiolani.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking about like Anderson Paak and the Free Nationals. Yeah. This whole weekend we've been trying to come up with something. We haven't quite got there yet. We got Alani and the Doctors.
Okay.
Something to do with like Medicaid for you, but I don't know if people will get that.
That's a deep reference.
Yeah. We have Alani and the Big Boys.
Wow.
That sounds like a porn title.
Yeah. No, it literally does. It's kind of funny though. And then, yeah, that's pretty much all we have.
Yeah, like that, those are the two.
We're still brainstorming.
Yeah, you're like,
we're still
give us a break. We've only been thinking about it one night.
Yeah. Yeah, it took us fucking 2 weeks to come up with our podcast name. So you'll be fine.
Yeah, forever. Sure. That's like the hardest part.
Yeah, yeah, titles.
Just do the classic high school band thing of opening up a dictionary and just
randomly pick a word.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's a name generator, the Wu-Tang name generator.
Yeah, you can go online and just type random shit in.
Childish Gambino.
You know what? I like that. Very original. I might go with that.
No copyright infringement whatsoever.
Before we let you go, I like to ask this because while people who come to listen to this might come for you, maybe some are new to you. How would you sell someone to take a listen to your music?
I think just being like open and intimate, I guess. I feel like my whole EP is very intimate. All of like the album cover, everything we've shot for it. Yeah. Like we're releasing a video soon.
Woo!
So all of that is just, it's very intimate. And I think specifically like people can relate to that, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone is intimate with someone, so.
Love it.
If you like someone getting in their feels and putting it into 8 tracks,
this
is the EP for you.
Yeah, that's the goal. Baby making music. That's the goal.
Awesome. This was fucking awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, one love. Ailani.
Me, Angel Selena.
Angel Selena. Chris Carmona. Forever.
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 And ever and ever and ever. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yay.
Amazing.
So cool.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for
having
me.
Yeah.
Here, let me just quote some famous Chris lines from these last two episodes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
One love.
My dumbass, bro. That to me is as bad as like when I hear namaste. It's like, oh, go fuck yourself.
Chris forgot that the show was called Young Love, and he goes, one love. Fucking hilarious.
But that was Ailani.
Yeah, amazing. So fucking nice to talk to.
Sweet, wonderful woman.
The fucking music video that she was talking about is out right now.
That's right. Also her EP. Please go check it out.
Yep. Yeah, the EP is called Ailani, but the song is called Medicaid for You, and it's fucking dope. It's fucking amazing. And so I hope y'all like that. That shit was dope.
I really... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it's fun to revisit these because we were literally in the green room, like we had our setup in the Katsu tent, and really shouts out to everybody because they were like moving around their shit like around us, and we were like literally crammed to the side interviewing these fucking amazing artists that we all like know and love. But it was literally like we just kept walking up to, like, literally in the order you're hearing this, this is how we approach people. Like, after Ailani, we're like, okay, who next? Who are we going to get next?
Yeah, like,
and we had, like, a list of, like, okay, let's go approach.
And it's like, oh, I don't know. I'm too scared. I'm nervous. And then, like, Chris will be like, fuck it, I'll go ask. And then I'll be like, whoa, he did it. And then, like, I see Chris walking to the green room with the artist. And then he's like, come on, let's go already. And it happened.
It was such a wild night.
So great. But this next person... We So this next guest, was he the last one of the night?
Probably. But I want to say something about my yes. So Angel and Justin rigorously prepared beforehand. And I told them, I said, you know what, like I'll help with like forming the questions, but I don't want to do any research. I just want to go in cold. That's just how I like, challenge myself. So as you'll hear along the way, I say a lot of yeah, because I'm like, shit, I'm just like thinking of like, what do I ask this guy? What
he's using this girl? He's using it to buy time to think of a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this, Michael Sayer.
Yeah, next one. Our boy, Michael Sayer.
Woo!
Fucking. Chris just went full Tarzan right now.
That's right.
My boy, Deku Midoriya from My Hero Academia. I think I mentioned it in the episode.
You do.
So we're going to jump back one more time.
All right, let's time warp again.
Uno, dos, tres.
Okay. What's up, everybody? This is Angel again for the Us Podcast with another guest interview.
And I'm Chris Carmona. And today,
who is
at this moment,
who else is with us?
Michael Sayer.
Yeah. Fuck you. Whoa.
Took me a bit to connect the dots there.
But dude, yeah, it's like, are they gonna intro me?
Better late than never. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. Is that like that film clip? Well, yeah. We're waiting.
That was like you're on your Nardwar tip, you know?
Yeah. Dude, exactly.
Now I have a question for you, Michael. Dude, we have your grandmother back here.
No way. How do you know? Grandma, what are you doing here? Dude, let me just set the scene for everybody watching. Fuck it. Well, he's not wearing it now. But Michael Cera was wearing a fucking what is it?
You had it.
Deku costume. But I was trying to think of the high school. What's it called?
UA?
Yeah, a UA uniform. This was got green hair. This was Deku Midoriya.
It's not often that I get to see Angel geek out.
Dude,
but
I'm
this
so glad. Like, I was geeking out with fucking Omar earlier about him being Todoroki. I was like, fucking finally, someone I could talk about anime with. Because fucking Chris has been a hater this whole goddamn time. So anyway, so the way we have been entering all these interviews is we're at this show. It's called Young Love in San Francisco.
That's it.
I want to know what do you think of when you think about Young Love?
Young Love?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Young Love.
That's a packed question.
Oh, hell yeah.
So unpack it for us. A lot of time to unload.
Dude, unpack that shit.
Young Love sucks, bro. Dude. Young Love is fucking terrible. It's like just this whole fucking mesh of chemicals and hormones and just depression, and it's still great, definitely, but man, Young Love is, when you first go through it, it's like terrible, and then when you're done with it, it's even worse.
Yeah, you're like, I'm never gonna recover from this ever,
but you recover. Yeah, you know, things get better. Yeah, and then Young Love just turns to love.
I think it's kind of like obvious that Young Love might have inspired a lot of your music, but there's something that I wanted to ask you, because there's a common notion that people think, oh, musicians have to be like in their shitty place to write music. Do you find yourself that you write better when you're in that shitty feeling, or after you've passed it and you can look back on it with like new eyes?
Honestly, probably the second.
Yeah.
Because right. When I'm feeling shitty, I can't really do anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I usually, like, time has passed, and it's still a shitty feeling to write about stuff that, you know, is
but you're not, like, right under the fucking cloud. Yeah. You could kind of, like, look
it's
back
still
at
a,
it.
It's still, I would say, an emotional burden, but it's definitely, you have more retrospect.
I feel like us artists in general tend to romanticize, like, fucking suffering and being sad and, like, staying in this funk as opposed to, like, being like, hey, I'm writing about this, but I moved past it, and this is me looking back, as opposed to, like, digging the hole even deeper.
Yeah, and especially because we're both filmmakers, and it takes a long time to get something, like, of that scale made. And not to say that songs are easier, but they're a lot more quicker, and the process is a lot more easier. So for us, like, we have to sit with it a little longer, whereas, like, you can kind of just, like, like, once you've passed the moment, I imagine it's just like, okay, I'm going to write a song about it and just kind of build on that. But,
so,
yeah.
Did you drive here from LA? Did you have the same?
Yeah, I did.
So we had the same 6-hour, like, fucking drive up here.
Did you take the 101 or did you take the 5?
I took both.
Both?
Yeah, it was like 5 to the 101.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I say that because we got to listen to fucking everyone that's been performing tonight, like, on the drive over here.
That's smart.
Yeah. it was super fun.
You guys are informed. You did your research. Yeah.
That's right.
Boy, you know. And so we got to listen to your album, Bad Bones.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
And this is because Chris was driving, so I was the one kind of writing the questions and shit. I was explaining to the people in the car, like, when I listen to that shit, it feels very vulnerable, and it feels like you're very critical about yourself. And so, like, I wanted to know, like, did you make a conscious effort to do that, or did it just come naturally?
I think a little bit of both. I think we're all our worst critics.
Yeah.
And especially being in, like, an arena, like, an artist or a musician, you kind of gravitate towards being vulnerable. I don't think art is... I mean, there's some art that's about distance, but... for the most part, I would say a big part of art is, like, opening yourself up to the world.
Right. Do you... we know that you're from Gardena, and I think it's just interesting that you decided to kind of go this route with your music rather than, like, you know, kind of what I guess is predominantly listened to over there? What was the choice? What was the conscious choice there?
What's Gardena even known for?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What?
Well, because I have friends that live in Gardena, so, like, it's kind of, you know, like, it's a lot of hip-hop over there and stuff. And so.
Well, no, I mean, I'm a big hip-hop head.
Right.
I started off making beats and rapping.
Ooh,
I mean,
no way!
It was cringe, but...
is it on SoundCloud somewhere?
No, fuck no. I have it privated, but... but, you know...
We can't get any MC Sayer stuff?
I think you got... Someone says... I forgot who it is, but someone's like, you got to get the whack out. You know? Yeah. And they're like... Once you get the whack out, you know, you start, like, getting like, somewhere.
All right, I'm ready to become an artist.
Yeah, I'll listen to some of my old stuff, and I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking cringy. This is terrible. Like, how did I, you know,
but,
like,
but did it feel dope?
Myself?
Like, did you think it
oh,
was
no,
dope?
Oh, no, yeah, I mean,
it?
Like, I loved it. Like, I was actually in a group, a hip-hop group with, like, all my high school friends. And, you know, even though I'm, like, talking very critically about it, I would say it's probably, like, the best years that I can look back on, because it was just all my friends, like, creating music, and, like, we were all having fun, and, like, I don't take it for granted, because, like, doing that, like, learning how to work with people and, like, trying to take my hand into making music, it gave me, like, a format or just a rubric that I kind of went off into making the music that I make right now, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, hip-hop has that traditional, you know, like, verse-chorus, mm-hmm. you know? And that's, like, a lot of songs. That's, like, the golden, you know, like...
The formula.
Build of the song, but it's very on the dot with hip-hop, I would say.
Yeah. So instead of perfecting, like, what you're already making, what made you decide to just completely shift genres?
I don't know. I think I just get bored easily.
I feel.
I mean, I made hip-hop. I was like a hip-hop head in high school, but you know, I grew up, my dad being a classic rock fan, I nerded out to, like, Beatles and, like, Queen and The
Hell
Who
yeah.
and just all those classic rock guys. So I don't think necessarily that it was, like, I was stuck in a hip-hop mind frame and, like, broke off with it, but... Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in different genres of music.
Okay.
I like how you talked about... Sorry if I'm, like...
No, go.
I like how you talked about, like, making stuff in high school as opposed to now. I wanted to know, because I've definitely seen people, like, my high school who have been in bands that just, like, can't seem to break out of that, like, local scene. Do you have any opinions on why some groups stay local and don't seem to...
No, I don't think I have an opinion, nor do I think that I have any advice. I don't know how, you know, like, stuff like this happens.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just fucking...
Luck?
I would like to say it's working.
Yeah.
A lot. I think a lot of people are lucky, too, but you know, if you want it, you'll go for it.
Yeah.
And if you truly want it, I don't think that'll ever die. And as long as you keep pushing, I believe as long as you keep pushing, you'll get wherever you want.
There you go, everyone. No excuse.
No excuses.
Fucking push harder.
How does it make you feel, though, man, that you're part of, like, this... I mean, you've been, like, you're a major pillar in this brown music community. Like, how does that... Like, what does that feel like?
I mean, I don't think I feel like... I don't relate to that in any way. I mean, maybe...
You don't
feel
see
like
yourself in, like, the monument? What's the Mount Rushmore of brown music?
No, I don't. Because I'm still in a place where I feel like I have a lot to work at. I'm not quite at the place that I want to be at. So I think I have a long way to go. But it's definitely cool to be a part of a community with, like, a bunch of cool artists and friends, you know? Like, I've known Innerwave since, like, middle school. We went to middle school together.
Yeah, John as well, right? From
that's Bukkake. Awesome.
Yeah.
From
man,
the Bukkake days,
man, dude. Back in the day.
I've known Shane for a bit. And, yeah, it's cool to just grow with your friends. And
how was that about, man, coming into, like, that scene? Because since you're from Gardena and John is obviously from Bell, right, Shane's from Long Beach, how did that, I guess, coming together look like? How did that even happen with you?
I don't know. I feel like those places aren't that far, so it just
yeah. Right. Just, you know, I drove.
we just liked music. Yeah. And we went to shows, and then we went to shows together, and we made music together. And
I'm super curious about this, like, filmmakers have a thing where, like, they send each other scripts. Do you guys ever send each other, like, rough drafts of, like, a song? Like, hey, well,
oh,
like,
hell yeah, you know? That's fucking cool. If you ever made a song and you're so fucking stoked on it, you're just sending it to everyone?
What?
Of course.
That's cool.
I mean, not everyone. You
know? Yeah.
You're, like,
you're not
going
to send it to Joe Schmo. You're going to send it to your, you know, your buddy. Mm-hmm. But I'll be stoked. And I remember in high school, it was, like, you made a song and, like, there is no restraint whatsoever. It's just like, oh, fuck, I'm going to put this on SoundCloud right away, you know? And it's like...
On your MySpace, man.
That's, I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. But,
no.
But now it's just changed to, yo, dude, check out the song.
Yeah. Put the shit out. Link in my bio.
Yeah.
And then do you find it easy to be, like critical of your peers' music? Like, do you give, like, honest opinions? Like, oh, it's lacking this, it's lacking that, whatever.
I don't think, for myself at least, it's hard for me. I think I'm a very honest, blunt person.
Okay.
If, you know.
That's dope. I always feel like, I always tell people, give me your opinions, and I'm always just like, please say something nice.
Yeah. I mean, I went to university for creative writing, and we do critiques all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the thing with a critique is, you either take it just face value, you know, you just need to hear it, that's it. And if you don't like what they're saying, you totally just, you know, throw it under the rug. And, like, that'll be the end of your day, and that's it. And you go on with life.
Yeah.
Or you can, like, listen and apply that. But either way, you know, it's not that big of a deal, you know? So, like, I don't think people should get butthurt about, like, critiques.
Yeah.
Just, like, take it or don't. It's cool.
It's just like, all right, don't talk to me. I'm never going to share anything with you ever again.
Don't talk to me or my son ever again.
Yeah, don't talk to me or my song ever again. Yeah, I think that's like the most difficult thing to learn. It's just like, look, man, you asked me for my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. Mm-hmm.
So as you work on these, as you're doing these tours, are you working on anything new?
Like music?
Yeah.
Just kind of goofing around and seeing what comes out.
Is there a thing that you want to, like, work towards, like, to step up maybe from your last thing?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think every musician wants their next thing to be
better.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, like, in what way, like, do you think of it sonically, lyrically?
Like, I guess the sorry.
No, no, good, good.
Like, what does better mean to you? How do you better your last album in your, like, in your opinion? Like,
I don't know. That's a hard question. But I just know that when you're working on an album, you try your very hardest to make it as good as it can sound. Mm-hmm. And whether that be, you know, like, sitting on lyrics and you know, developing it more, or sitting on a mix and letting your ears rest and then come back to it and really refine the sonic qualities of it. Either way, it's just going towards the quality of your art. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, like, school and stuff. Has school ever been, like... Have you ever tried to balance school and your music career?
Fuck,
and then,
yeah,
like, you had to just
choose one?
Dude.
Yeah. That's, like, a big thing for me, because I went to university and I was trying to do, you know, like, my Michael Sayer stuff. And it's, like, I'm trying to nurture two different worlds. And it's pretty tough, because there's times where you're like, well, I like this world a lot better, you know. Why can't I just go all in on it? Mm-hmm. But then you have all these other factors that it's very complex, and it's a very nuanced question, and it's not an easy answer. But I was able to do it. I don't know how. I got good at bullshitting. Like, I would just write my essays probably like a day before, and just hope that it was above an F.
Yeah,
or something.
That was your fucking barometer. Yeah. Better than an F, please.
But I think it's definitely doable. I think, if you want to do both worlds, it's totally doable. And then there's an end game. Like, I'm done with school, mm-hmm. and now, like, I could do whatever I want, and like, mm-hmm. it's fucking sick. Like,
so
I just play video games all day.
Fuck yeah,
dude. Was getting that I guess. English degree kind of like did you ever in a sense have like feel like that was your backup, or did you always push and be like, I don't have a backup and I want like my music to take off, or like how did like school
school for me was just a it was something I did for my mother. I know people are like, don't do anything that isn't for yourself, but I think it's dumb. Like,
but I feel like that's like on a lot of us, because I mean, since a couple of us are, I mean, first generation, like, you know, Americans.
I mean, I'm not gonna, like, I came from the Philippines, like, I was born there, and I came to America when I was 2, and I was brought here for the sole purpose of, like, getting a better education.
Yeah.
And, like, I love my mom, and I don't think it's, like, such a big request that she wants me to, like, you know, just follow on school and get an education, because, you know, that's, she's my mom, and she just wants the best for
me. That's super fucking out.
So I'm going to do it, but I'm also going to do this with all my heart.
That's awesome. And fucking living proof that you can do both.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like, you don't, sometimes you don't have to choose one or the other. It reminds me a lot, because we've talked to a bunch of people who talk about how they, not school, but jobs, you know, like just regular jobs trying to make music on the side. And I think, I don't know, I think this is something super admirable to the fact that, like, I think that's the linking quality. I think it's that.
Yeah, dude.
The drive, not only just to do, like, you know, just fucking pay your mom that respect of, like, you brought me here for education, so I'm gonna, like, make that worth your while. And at the same time, fulfilling your own self-want with music and stuff.
I think, too, you know, dropping out is totally fine as well.
Yeah.
Staying in school is totally fine as well. I just, you know, just make the decision and make that the sincere decision for you, you know?
Yeah. Do what you need to do to get to where you need to be.
You just gotta make that decision. You can't just, like,
flip-flop.
Be in purgatory, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. That's fucking dope. Well, I think we're wrapping up here. Yeah. Thank you so much. But we're going to end with the question we've been ending, and Chris is the one that asks it.
Fuck, dude, it's been such a long day.
Dude, yeah, it feels like we've said this shit 100 times.
I think this is the longest show in history.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, write that down.
Okay, so I remember the question. That was me stalling. So, for people who are listening, because they saw your name on our, you know, on our podcast, they'll be listening for you, but there'll be a couple people who haven't. So, for those people who are potential new listeners, how would you pitch them to check out Michael Sayers' music?
Pitch them?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would pitch. I mean,
I guess pitch, like, pitch is a word I use, but, like, you know, just more like, how would you, like?
Yeah, you're a video guy, so you use that.
Exactly. But how would you
if someone
how would you,
like,
describe your music? If she was a sexy girl.
I would just say it's a piece of me, you know? It's okay. Just like, if you want to get to know me, that's... Like, my music is a good outlet for that, you know?
And everybody's been different the whole night.
Yeah, I fucking love it, dude. That was such a fucking awesome...
Really quick, share with them your favorite song from Bad Bones.
My favorite song?
Yeah, you said it on the show last week.
Bad Bones? It's Bad Bones. That's my fucking favorite song. Yeah,
fucking
I was
Wicked,
like,
in Santa Cruz.
The fucking one. Hell yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. This has been Angel. This has been Chris.
Michael Sayer.
Yeah. Fuck yes. You said it the exact same way. Laters.
Thank you, Michael.
Wow.
Hell yeah, man.
Guess what? We have Michael Sayer in the building.
What's up, guys?
Wow, that was a fantastic fucking conversation.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Chris did it!
So what is it? To me, the likes, and then now
Yeah. Chris, what did you think of his take on school? Did that change anything?
I've never... You always hear one or the other. Fuck school. School's very important. He was like, school's good. I did it for my mom because that's what they brought me here for. But if you don't like it, you can fucking leave. Mm-hmm. That was so, like... It's not even neutral. It's just, like, literally, like... It's just literally presenting to you, do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. That's it.
And it's coming from a dude who did both get a degree and is fucking making music and touring and being fucking dope.
How fulfilling must that be? Living your dream and you made your parents happy with what they wanted.
And
that's
it's
great.
Like, you have to listen to that and just be like, fuck, I really don't have an excuse, huh?
Right.
I burped again.
Burp number one.
So, as of now of recording this, Michael Sayer is actually... he has a show coming up in Los Angeles at the Roxy.
Hey.
Fuck, I think it was December 19th, but don't quote me on that. Just go to the Roxy's Instagram or the Facebook page and check it out. It's called Jingle Bell Roxy. It's like a whole month of dope-ass shows.
And funny you should bring that show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know, because Michael Sayer is playing with a pretty cool person by the name of Temprex, which this is a perfect segue to get y'all to jump into the next episode of the Us Podcast, because we got a lot of cool people on there.
Just to tease you and tickle your fancy, folks, not only do we have Temprex, we got the great.
We got Chris's favorite boy crush Wednesday.
Omar Apollo. The love of my life. And then
he has finally arrived. He's here. On the Us Podcast.
We've been talking about him for at least three episodes.
Dude, I know.
And he's with us.
He's fucking here. He has risen.
We got him. And this is not a joke. We really have audio. Like, he literally says, no, yeah, it's me.
It's me. So check that on the next episode. We got Bane's World. We got Temprex. We got Omar Apollo.
All for you in the next one. So, of the interviews, of these three interviews, Angel, what was your favorite part about talking to these three folks? Like, just like as a complete experience of these particular three.
I think it was just seeing how they've managed to juggle their personal lives and their musical careers and like made it work, but knowing that to make it work takes work. Like, it's not fucking easy.
Yeah.
To be a musician and handle real life as well. And I think just hearing them and seeing them where they are now, like across from us interviewing them, playing at that show, it just made me be, it was like you mentioned, I think a couple of times on the podcast, like very humbling to hear that these people just do it.
Just think about this fact, how attainable a dream can be. First of all, these people are artists that people paid money to see, right? Mm-hmm. They're headlining a show in San Francisco. Couple that with the fact that they talk to us individually about their personal struggles, like, oh, like, I don't just do music now, like, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm known for this, but I still work jobs, like we talked with different, like, even Katsuoso before, he's still hustling, doing jobs. And it's like, the idea of unattainableness is all in our heads. Like, we were literally sitting for free with artists that people paid to like listen, just to listen, play music, and we got to watch them play music,
dive deep into their, like,
and pick their brains.
Yeah, pick their brains, dive deep into who they are and why they, the person behind the music, I think is like was my favorite thing about interviewing everybody.
Yeah,
just seeing like how their mind works when they're like, because me and Chris's only exposure to them was through the music they put out.
Yeah.
And then we got to take a step away from that music and see who the real person that made that music is. And it was super awesome, and I hope to do it again. And we do it again in the next episode of the Us Podcast.
Nice. Perfect segue.
Ba-boom.
So, without further ado, please move on over to our next episode and enjoy our conversations with Temprex, Omar Apollo,
and Bane's World.
Goodbye.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at @AngelISalinas_.
And you can follow me at @TheChrisCarmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Bleats.
Bleats. All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.